Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Do you remember when the Lakers wanted and demanded all that smoke? Remember when AD said, quote, "We can't wait," end of quote, to get the Nuggets back for all the talking they did after they swept the Lake Show out the Western Conference Finals? Do you remember that? I do. I think everybody does, except for the Lakers. They don't seem to remember any of that. I mean, hell, it was only 3 days ago that Darvin Ham fired off the coolest line that he has ever dropped as the Lakers head coach.
"We with all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades."
They all seem to agree with him too, right? Didn't they? They all seem to agree with him. And I'll say it, that's a great line for the Ham. That's his best line since arriving in L.A. "We want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades." Great line. Gotta hand it to the Ham. Pretty straightforward too. They want the Nuggets. They want all the smoke. They ain't ducking no fades. They want all that smoke from the defending champs. Good line, dude. One problem, Ham. Maybe you should have checked with LaCap before you went with that. Because I'm not sure you and LaCap are on the same page. I'm not sure you and LaCap are ever on the same page about anything at all. But you really seem disconnected on this one, because while the Ham is out here saying he wants all the smoke, LeBron is out here basically saying, "What smoke? There is no smoke." Here's LaCap at Laker practice yesterday acting like the Nuggets are just another team and it's just another series and we're the ones making too big of a deal of the recent history between these teams. Yeah, LaCap, sure we are not.
I think you're putting a little bit too much more emphasis on it. This is our first round matchup and we look forward to the postseason. But I haven't been like looking forward to the rematch. The game is played, obviously played, and this is the matchup, so we look forward to that challenge.
I mean, come on. You wonder why you're glossed LaCap and LaBag.
People probably think I'm lying about that too, huh?
Yes. Yes. Yes, they do. Speaking for the people, they do. We all do. Did you just say we're the ones putting too much emphasis on the rematch? Really? So we're just supposed to ignore that these dudes swept your asses out of the playoffs last year and then beat you three more times during the regular season and have now beaten you eight straight times overall. That's not relevant. That's not relevant information. We're supposed to ignore all of that. I mean, that is classic LaCap. Classic LaBag. LaCap. LaCap's like, all you guys are overemphasizing the fact that they keep kicking our ass. Stop talking about it already. For real, though, stop. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. We're not even thinking about it. No, LeBron. We're not going to stop talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it, at least until you actually beat them. Maybe win a game against these dudes before you try to tell us that we're putting too much emphasis on the fact that you can't beat these dudes, even once. Until you actually do beat these dudes, it is actually really relevant information. This is why everybody's talking about it. We're not overemphasizing it. You can't overemphasize the fact that you guys are 0 for your last 8 against the team that you're about to match up with. I mean, what are you even talking about? But even that doesn't bother me as much as LaCap's claim that he has not been looking forward to the rematch or thinking about the rematch or talking about the rematch. Again, this is why you're known as LaCap. Because I seem to remember AD saying that he was looking forward to getting these dudes back before the season even started. I remember that. Not only do I remember him saying that, I remember him looping you into it as well, LaCap. So you might want to get with your dude street clothes on this and make sure you guys have the same story and you're on the same page, because right now you don't.
It was just a lot of, like, the talking and all the Lakers. That, like, it was just so much of that going on. Like, all right, we get it, y'all won. But, you know, I think, you know, me and Bron had some conversations like, we can't wait.
Me and Bron had some conversations like, we can't wait.
You know, me and Bron had some conversations like, we can't wait.
So, LeCap, what changed? What changed?
Can't wait.
What has happened in the interim? What happened to the conversations that you and AD were having? What happened to, quote, we can't wait? Emphasis
we can't wait.
On we. He said it. We can't wait.
We can't wait.
So what's happened between then and now? Well, I can tell you. You know what's happened since AD dropped that quote? Denver has kicked your ass three more times. So wouldn't you think a competitor like LeCap would be more fired up than ever to get in with these dudes? Not acting like we're the ones creating this false narrative. We're the ones putting too much emphasis on it. I already thought that AD's version of I Can't Wait was somehow even more lame than the Dino in Vegas version.
I can't wait.
That version? Like, how could anything be more lame than this?
We can't wait.
And yet it is. And yet there it is. How can anything be more lame than this? And yet there it is.
We can't wait.
So, LeCap somehow made it even lamer. It was such a goofy statement at the time. And it's even goofier when you back off it right before you finally get a chance to back it up. That's so whack.
That's whack.
And so is LeCap saying, quote, it shouldn't be personal at all. End of quote. Are you kidding me? It should not be personal at all. They swept you last postseason. They've beaten you eight straight times, but it shouldn't be personal? Since when? If by it shouldn't be personal, you mean it should be the most personal thing ever, then I would agree, LeWack. But you want to talk about a reverse MJ. A reverse MJ? Dude, it better be personal. Y'all better want these guys. Hey, by the way, they own you, and they think it's personal. So since you're the one getting owned, how can you not think it's personal? You all better want revenge. You all better take eight curb stompings in a row personally. You all better take getting swept out of the Western Finals personally. You all better bring some edge to this series because that's the only chance you have in this series. You better bring some edge. You better bring it right away. You better jump these dudes and mug them in game one tomorrow night and hope that they don't get into their rhythm after being a week off. You better bring that edge, and on top of that, you better bring the good D-Lo. The good D-Lo. That, of course, is a key in this series. D'Angelo Russell. I mean, ask anybody in Car Flag Nation. They know. Of course they know. They know that street clothes needs to stay aggressive and stay out of his street clothes and out of foul trouble. But what they really know is they need a locked-in D-Lo, the one they had on Tuesday against the Pels. Which is why he's the one dude who can get away with saying nothing changes for him in his preparation for the defending champs. Because he really shouldn't change anything from Tuesday night. Because Tuesday night, the dude was straight cash. I'll say that. So I'm actually okay with D-Lo saying this.
The same as it was against New Orleans. Same shit. There's no extra preparation for me. I've been preparing all year for whoever we would see in the postseason. Obviously, y'all make it a Denver D-Lo thing, but I'm ready to compete.
What's with these dudes? Why is it us that are creating these false narratives? Why is it our fault that you keep getting your ass kicked? What do you mean y'all make it a Denver D-Lo thing or D-Lo thing? What is this? You got LeBron talking about how it's not really a thing. Y'all are overemphasizing it. Now we have D'Angelo Russell saying, man, y'all are making this a Denver D'Lo thing. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. But I'm ready to compete. My dude, you better be ready to compete. Again, we're not making it a Denver D'Lo thing. You made it a Denver D'Lo thing when you played like total ass against these dudes in the playoffs last year. My man, we aren't the ones that averaged 6 points on 32% shooting and 13% from the three in that sweep. We didn't do that. You did that. We're not the ones that lost our starting spot in the lineup for game four. That was you. That's why there is a Denver D'Lo thing. We didn't make that up. It's a real thing that exists because of you and what they did to you. How is this our fault? We are not overemphasizing anything. We are not making up anything. I'll tell you what, man. If it happens again, the Lakers are absolutely cooked. They're toast. They're toast anyway.
The quarterback is toast.
But if D'Lo shoots 13% from beyond the arc and winds up getting benched again, book it right now, this series will be another beatdown. Oh, excuse me, my bad, LeCap. I'm not supposed to mention the other beatdown. My bad. I'm not supposed to put emphasis on the last 8 games against these dudes. I mean, seriously, him saying y'all are overemphasizing this when he and AD said they can't wait to play them, even for LeCap, that is a terrible take. Terrible take. Dude, it better be about the past, or else that 8 in a row is about to become 12 in a row. And nobody is overemphasizing anything. We are just pointing out the glaring fact that you have not been able to beat these guys. And we're going to keep pointing it out until, well, you know, you beat these guys. I'll tell you what, I'll give you my prediction right now. I'll give it to you right now. Nuggets in 5. And yes, you'll win 1, I'll give you that. But it's not going to be because LeBron went GOAT. It's not going to be because AD was unconscious. It's not going to be because D'Lo went laser. The reason the Lakers will avoid the embarrassment of getting swept again and making it 12 in a row will be because of the legend, Gabe Vincent. Mark it down. The legend had been busted up, but he finally made it back, and he's once again going legendary gaucho. Let me tell you something right now. The Lake Show goes as Gabe Vincent goes. And Gabe is not going to let them get swept. He's got way too much pride. I see you, legend. Proud of you, Gaucho fam. Even if the Nuggets are about to beat you down. No shame in that, fam. It's bigger than you. But I see you, player. Go do what you do. Rep the Gaucho Nation on the national stage. Dominate on the big stage like you always do. And by dominate, I mean prevent your team from getting swept. Clones, what do we want? when we're craving protein or we need more energy. Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Of course, I'm talking about Nick Caserio. Nick, my brother, what's good?
Romy, always good to be with you. The clones, the XR4TI. Just trying to get a little jungle caramel here before the draft, but appreciate you having us.
My man, I'm not sure you need any of that caramel, but it's here. We'll get it for you. Hey, listen, I love whenever you and I can touch base, but especially right before the draft when I know you're grinding it out. So, Nick, first things first, bring me up to date. How have things been with you since our legendary sit-down for the pod the week of the Super Bowl? And do you have anything in particular for the clones or the crew before we talk about that draft?
Yeah, it's probably been all downhill since then. That was probably the peak of the offseason was our visit in Vegas. But in all seriousness, really enjoyed that opportunity to spend time with you. Enjoyed that discussion. The off season has been good. Aside from football, just trying to make some notes. I have a couple thoughts on the smack off. We can maybe hit that at the end of the call. But in all seriousness, the off season has been good. We're making some progress. We're kind of finishing off some of the draft visits and some of the draft prep. But overall, hopefully, we're moving in the right direction. So I think my second job is football, with the primary focus being on the clones and whatever contributions. I'm sorry I missed the beef segment yesterday. I was probably a day late on that, but I'm glad we're here today.
Nick Caserio, it's great to have you here today. The beef segment actually was great yesterday, one of the all-timers. Hey, listen, Nick, I'm not sure how much you're willing to divulge in terms of the trade for Stephon Diggs, but let me take a shot. Did you know that he was available, or maybe did you identify him as a player that you knew could help you and make it your mission to get him? In other words, how did that deal go down?
Yeah, no, I think we've shown that we're pretty open-minded relative to how we function, and we've always just tried to not necessarily seek out opportunities, but just be cognizant of what opportunities may exist. During the off-season, you talk to different clubs, you talk to different folks, you talk with different people. You're never really sure what's going to come to fruition and what is not. And you know during the free agency period that there are certain players who you know are available relative to their contract expiring. So you obviously can do a lot of work on those folks. As far as players that are under contract on other clubs, whether or not they're available in a trade or not, I would say for the most part, most teams aren't offering up players, so they're not shopping players. I mean, ourselves included, like, we don't certainly operate that way. But I think teams have shown the propensity or willingness to at least listen. And our job is to look at opportunities and look at situations. And if there's a player, the worst thing that can happen is if you ask about a player, you bring up a player, they tell you no, which is fine. Then you move on to the next, opportunity that might present itself. So I would say it's specific to that situation. It wasn't something that we necessarily had on the radar. And I would say it wasn't necessarily something I think Buffalo was necessarily shopping, but just through calls and dialogue, and at some point we felt there was an opportunity for us. So I have a lot of respect for the way Brandon and the Bills operate, and that we were able to come to an agreement when we did there the first week in April, whenever it was. So, Steph's a good player. He's been a good player here for a number of years. Hopefully he can help our team in some capacity. But there's always a lot of moving parts when you're acquiring players via trade. I think if you look around the league, it just seems like there's a little bit more openness. Teams are more open-minded. And in the end, every team has to do what they feel is in their best interest. And it takes two to tango, and in the end, we were able to work out an agreement with Steph and get him on the team.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, one more thought about that. When you met with the local media yesterday in Houston, you pushed back hard on this notion of Diggs being a, quote, diva, based on reports of how he handled himself in certain situations in Minnesota and Buffalo. Why did that particular question and that term kind of trigger you the way it did?
Yeah, I think what happens is sometimes, whether it's where teams are in the off season and what that projects during the season, or if a player is labeled a certain way, quite frankly, it's probably not fair to assign any labels to any player. And the reality is, like, if you really don't know the individual or know that player, quite frankly, you just can't go off of conjecture. It's not fair to that individual. So everybody is entitled to their opinion, and we certainly respect that. I think how we've operated here in Houston is we do our research. We try to identify the right players for our building. And the reality is we judge them based on how they act and what they do when they're here in our building and then when they're around our team, and not necessarily worried about what somebody said about what happened somewhere else. So, again, I think just athletes in general, you just have to be fair about just taking information and then just making assumptions or making statements when, quite frankly, you probably really don't have a real grasp of the truth. So, again, however that was interpreted, however that came off, so maybe they caught me on a bad day. But overall, we're happy that Steph is here, and I think it's just important for – we're not going to judge. You know, that's not our job. Our job is to run the football team and then just give them the opportunity to be themselves when they're here and support them and provide them the resources that they need to be successful.
Dude, I don't think you had a bad day at all. I thought that was an extremely responsible response to that question or that issue. I don't think that's a bad day in any sense. We're talking to Nick Caserio. Nick, what about, you talk about you want to get a guy in a building and you want to make sure that when he's in that building, it feels right, the fit's right. What about Joe Mixon? I know what he can do for your offense. He's gained over 1,000 yards each of the last 2 years. What did it feel like to have him in the building, and what did you like about adding him to your offense?
Yeah, no, Joe's been great. He's actually been here for the start of the offseason program. We kicked off the other day, so we have a number of players that are here. But Joe's been a productive player, versatile. He's been very durable, kind of knock on wood. He's been available, which I think is an important quality as any player. So that was the situation, how that one kind of came to fruition. I've been asked about this a couple times, but not too dissimilar, just from a logistical standpoint. When we acquired Jason McCourty in New England in 2016 or whatever that was, he was set to be released. But before it kind of hit the waiver wire, we kind of jumped in and we were willing to give up compensation and trade for the player to acquire his services to secure him. I think sometimes when a player hits the market, there's going to be competition. So we, in that situation specific to Joe, we were just trying to stay ahead of it. We like the player, we did homework on the player, and we felt that it made sense. So we tried to take advantage of that opportunity to get him here and get him in a building and add a player that we think can help our football team. So lost Devin in free agency to the Giants, who had a great season for us last year. Motor did. So that was a position we were evaluating, whether it was in free agency or in the draft. So there was an opportunity to add a good player that we thought fit what we do systematically. So that's kind of how that one came together, I'd say, fairly quickly over the span of probably less than 24 hours from the time he was set to be released to the time that we acquired him. So this is where just being open-minded, being adaptable, being flexible, just having a candid discussion with the team. And if there's an agreement on both sides, then you know, trade comes to fruition. And so we're glad that Joe's here, add him to the group. You know, DP's coming back, and so another young player. So it's probably a position throughout the course of the spring here. You know, we could look to add. You need two or three backs here in the league that you're probably going to take to the game. So, but, you know, Joe's been a good player. He's been, you know, was good in Cincinnati, provided a lot of leadership, a lot of production. So we'll see if he can bring some of those qualities to our team as well.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, you mentioned the Pats. I want to ask you something really quickly. When you and I spoke on the pod in February, we talked at length about Bill Belichick. I've got to think the entire league is having a field day with the goss and the drama involving Bill and Bob Kraft. I'm not looking for clicks here, Nick, and you're too smart to give it to me anyway, but I'm just really curious about one thing. I'm curious about where you come out. If that ESPN report is accurate, and if Bob Kraft told Arthur Blank that Bill was, quote, very, very, very arrogant and didn't trust him, did he in fact do Bill dirty? Did he owe Bill more than that, given that he won that owner six rings? Or did the owner owe it to his peer to answer a question honestly and speak his truth, if that was his truth?
Yeah, no, Jim, I understand the question. Quite frankly, I actually haven't read the article that you've referred to. I would just say, you know, very appreciative of the time that I had in New England, the opportunities that were presented to me, my relationship with ownership and Bill. I mean, Bill's a big part of why I'm here today here in Houston, for what he taught me. So, again, my focus is on the Texans. So I respect the question, but, you know, I've been away from the building for 3-4 years now, so not really, you know, sure of the intimate details of what goes on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I'm just thankful for my time that I was there and respectful of the relationship that I have with the parties that are there. And I'd say the ownership, you were talking about one of the better ownership groups in the league and sport. And, you know, been on record, I've said this multiple times, my feelings of Bill about I feel about him as a coach and what he's meant to the game of football and what he's meant to me personally. So, again, I don't really comment on something that I'm not familiar with. So the article that you referred to, I'm not familiar with it at this time.
Nick, I respect that you respect the question and that you can't answer the question. I respect that. Mutual respect. We respect all the way around. I get it.
We're having a respect-a-thon, Romy. So
we are having a respect-a-thon, Nick. We could not respect each other more. I've never respected a guy so much for not answering a question as I do you right now. You're the best. The respect off. Never mind the smack off. We're having a respect off right now, my man, and you're winning. You're winning the respect off. All right. So
maybe we can have another program separate from the smack off and maybe get some entries into the respect-a-thon. So we'll have to come up with a list for that program.
Yeah,
it won't be as exciting as a smack off, that's for sure.
Well, no, and then you got to look pretty hard to get the clones to be a part of. Like, who would qualify for a respect off when we're talking about clones?
Well, that's a short list of clones. There might be some other athletes that, you know, maybe Casey, the mayor, maybe E. Wedge, you know, I know, or Jungle Legend. So we could probably come up with a decent list outside of the clones.
There it is. He is a legend of the NFL, a legend of the jungle, a legend of life, and the draft is coming up. He's coming in to get a little of that jungle caramel. Nick's going to be really different this time around, obviously, without the first and third pick overall and waiting for number 42, but I know you got a plan. Listen, Nick, great to get caught up. Really appreciate it. You had an amazing offseason, and it's always good to have you on the show, brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Romy. Always appreciate the invitation and enjoy visiting. So enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk smack off at a later point.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. All right, clones. This is going to be pretty interesting. I've always said that if I do what the clones want me to do, then I will be a clone. That somebody's got to keep you straight and somebody has to maintain. Somebody's got to be the parent in the room. And that if I always do what the clones want, I myself will be a clone because they'll rip this show from me. So that's why I don't do what you want. Once in a while, I'll feed that beast. Once in a while, I'll give you what you want. but I know what you really want. And I'm not going to give you what you want. Because I happen to like this chair better than your chair. And if I give you what you want, I'll be sitting next to you. That's a problem. But then again, every once in a while, you got to break format. In fact, you know what? Some topics I've got to get out in front of. Because that way I can defuse the bomb. You know what I'm saying? I know my audience. I know my clones. I know my JXP. I know the big head who is going to make an appearance at the top of next hour. Which is why I think I will shout out Duval this morning. I think I will talk about Jags GM, Trent Baalke. Because if I don't, then the JXP and the big head will completely hijack the conversation and somehow make a lowbrow topic even lower brow. So let me apologize in advance for what has to be done right now. Alvy?
I apologize.
Alvy, watch yourself, Alvy. That should give you a hint as to where we're going. That should give you a hint as to, I'm actually going to do this. I'm actually going to give you what you want. Now, personally, I think you know I try to avoid the low-hanging fruit in the jungle. I think you know by now I can't stand big heads, juvenile, third-grade fart smack. However, this particular low-hanging vine is something that even I can't ignore today. Both because I know you clones and the entire JXP will not allow me to ignore it, but also because, and more importantly, because I usually can't ignore you. Usually I can. But you couple the fact that you will not let me ignore it, but even more importantly, personally, I just can't get over it. Like, I'm blown away by the sheer audacity, by the utter lack of shame. And I don't mean Baalke's lack of shame about his recent draft picks or his free agent signings. I mean his utter lack of shame and embarrassment over ripping ass in the middle of a live press conference. And not only doing it, but acknowledging it as it's happening, and then just moving on like nothing happened. My dude, it does not work that way. At least not around here. Because something most definitely did happen. You cannot do that, acknowledge it, and then pretend it didn't happen. Something I'm not sure that I've ever seen or heard ever before. No, you don't just move on. You can't just move through that. You can't act like that didn't happen. I mean, maybe you didn't give a damn that it happened, but don't act like it didn't happen. I've seen so much over the years. We've had so many instances of so many sports figures doing so many embarrassing things in front of a microphone. But I really can't remember ever seeing or hearing an active GM rip ass at a podium and acknowledge it and then just push right through it like it's nothing at all.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
What? Excuse me.
Excuse me, gone through.
That's all. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Just excuse me.
Excuse me.
Without even breaking stride and moving right through it. Like this is a normal thing. Like what? Like he's looking at us like what? What? What are you looking at? What?
Excuse me.
What? Like y'all haven't ripped ass before. Happens to us all, right?
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
No, dude, it only happens to him. Dude, you can't truck right through ripping ass on a podium during a presser and admitting it in real time. and then act like nothing happened. Nobody in the room, my man, heard another word that came out of your mouth after that came out of your ass. They all just had that sound echoing in their ears, getting louder and louder and louder.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
If I were to say to you before that happened, find me one GM in the NFL that would rip ass in the middle of a presser, acknowledge it, and then move right through it. Who would you say? Who do you think that would be? How many of you would have said, oh, Balky, for sure? There's no doubt he wins that pool. I mean, this guy. That is all any of the journos or even JAG employees in the room could hear after you did that.
Sit down and go, excuse me, gone through the final.
And then, incredibly, you remove their ability to suspend their disbelief. You took away their option to act like, yeah, it's not what we think it is. There's no way, right? There's no way. That didn't happen. He didn't do that. However, you took that away from them. You took that away from everybody. Not that anybody would have thought otherwise, but at least you could create reasonable doubt. But you can't because you acknowledged it.
Excuse me, God.
You didn't just have the audacity to rip ass on a live mic during a press conference. You also had the audacity to acknowledge it and own it and admit it in real time. This might be the only time in my entire life that I think that ownership is not a good idea. Because now you can't deny it. That's the part that gets me. Dude owned it. And he owned it in real time. Dude actually acknowledged it.
Going through, coach,
and that's the first rule of getting away with anything. Never, ever admit it. Especially when it comes to crop dusting reporters that cover your team. Dude, deny, deny, deny. We all know whoever denied it, supplied it, but that doesn't mean you have to go ahead and admit it. Lots of things, I mean, I could have made the argument for you. Lots of things make lots of awkward sounds. Plenty of things could sound like a butthole without actually being a butthole.
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 As I mentioned, you could at least try to create some reasonable doubt. That's all you need. There has to be enough evidence to overturn, right? If you create some reasonable doubt, then the jury's got to let you go. But not this time. There is no reasonable doubt. There is no evidence or enough evidence to overturn because you flat out admitted it. Haven't you ever watched Dateline, dude? At least ask for your attorney. I'm floored. I'll give the guy this. I mean, he's always been kind of a weird dude. And normally weird is good, but not in this case. But I am actually floored by the level of don't give a crap. Or give too much crap, I guess you could say. Dude, what if that goes wrong? Because it does sometimes. What if it goes wrong? This dude's just so casual about the whole thing. But what if, imagine, that was not a dry run? Imagine if an active, and by the way, I'm way too far into this now not to say this. What if an NFL GM were to crap himself on a podium in the middle of a live presser? There is no coming back from what he just did, but imagine if that happened. There is really no coming back from that. Hey, Trent, you got to be careful, dude. You are flirting with disaster. You're being way too cavalier about the possibility of taking a dump, not only in your pants, but on your entire career.
Coach and I haven't sat down and go, excuse me, gone through the...
Can you believe that's how that guy handled that? He trucked right through it. He didn't skip a beat. He didn't break stride. He's not at all embarrassed. And utter lack of shame. I mean, if the worst thing did happen, and that's not the worst thing, but the worst thing would be actually taking a big dump in your pants.
You have a big dump in your pants.
He probably would have just hit us with, oh, excuse me, and kept moving right through that.
Excuse
Don't mind me. That's just
final.
Me squeezing out a growler. Ignore that smell, too. That's just a big dump in my pants. What was I talking about again? Oh, that's right. The Trevor Lawrence extension. Yet, no, we're not talking about the Trevor Lawrence extension. We're talking about the Deca Gasser that just came from the podium. The one that's still echoing around the room along with the wafting aroma. We're not thinking about your draft strategy anymore, T. We're thinking about how you just channeled your inner Dan Orfartsky.
Now, the big change is the commitment to running the football.
We're no longer wondering if Doug Peterson can get things back on track in year three. We're wondering if you're about to go all Ian Poulter my finger with it again. Do you know how over the top this is? So over the top that I'm doing a take on it. When normally I do everything in my power to ignore it and delete everything that comes in. And I'm still going. The only thing that could have made that any more cringe and any more weird would have been if you went full Wendy Williams and also incorporated a burp into that fart.
I apologize.
At least she apologized. Twice. She didn't just excuse me,
Coach,
and
I
power
sat down
right
and
through
go,
it.
Excuse me, gone through the final.
Even Jalen Hurts at least flushes it before he moves on. Speaking to you, James Kelly, you're freaking welcome, dude. I'm telling him he's welcome, but he's so pissed I stole all his thunder. He'll try to rally, top of the hour.
Winthrop.
You're welcome, James Kelly. I know this is your new favorite segment ever in the history of the jungle. So congratulations to you, I guess. Does it also mean that Trent Baalke is now your new favorite GM? Because I know you never liked that guy before. I know you never had respect for his draft picks and his personnel moves. But surely this just made you a fan for life. Surely he has now joined the Shanahans as your favorite people in football. I mean, Baalke is like fam to you now, right, Head? Cousin Trent, right, Head? I guess that Deca Gasser is about to go from 10 Windy sound bites to 11, because that one right there is unbelievable. Might as well get it out of the way right now, because if I don't, I know you'll just wedge it into Big Head Betts anyway. So, Alvin, go ahead. Let it rip.
Yeah.
A lot of examples in football history of good quarterbacks.
Now, the big...
I apologize.
And I haven't sat down and go, excuse me, gone through the final...
Well, was that a question? Yeah.
I can't believe I'm a 50-something Hall of Fame radio broadcaster that just did 15-plus minutes on national radio about an NFL GM ripping ass.
Coach and I haven't sat down and go, excuse me, gone through the final board yet.
Vaughn in Knoxville, of course, wants in. Van Smack, I would rather listen to the flatulent cacophony of Trent Baalke than any takes from current jungle skid marks, Shaky T, and Eric in Orlando. Wore Montreal smoked meat sandwiches. Vaughn in Knoxville with one of the all-time jungle pulls. Montreal smoked meat sandwiches is an incredible old-school pull. Vaughn's flexing a little bit with that. I mean, your reaction is going to be so moronic and so idiotic. Only I could do a respectful take on flatulence. I know your reaction will not match up to the respect that I treated that with. I know you can't. I just knew that if I didn't get it out there, that was the one thing that I could not manage. I could not control. I had to get in front of it. I had to. You know why? The second that story dropped yesterday, y'all immediately started blowing the head and eye up on X. At. Like, oh yeah, that's where Rome lives. That's not where Rome lives. That is where James Kelly lives. James Kelly's got the biggest house on the hill in this gated flatulence community. That's where he lives.
Flatulence.
I don't know why you're including me in this. It's a terrible look for me. Because if anybody else is on X, you're like, oh yeah, that must be what Rome's all about. That must be Rome's show. I'm not about that. Nor is my show about that. I'll say it again. They don't put you in the Hall of Fame for making jokes about farts. Yet there y'all are on X. Just
excuse me, going through.
Adding me to your mentions. At. All right. So I gave you what you want. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, that's something I didn't want to do. That's something I didn't want to talk about. See, there are parts of the job. You know I've got the best job in the world. There are parts of my job that I don't like. I don't care how good your job is. You can have the best job in the world, and I do. There are still parts of the job that you don't like. I don't like that. I didn't want to do that. But it's part of the job. Go online. It's the top of every website that matters. So I did that. You know what I do want to talk about? Joe Noah in Cleveland. I do want to talk about that. And I will talk about that. You know what else I want to do? I want to talk to Miles Turner. And I'll do that too. Anyway, clones. And you, James Kelly. You're bleeping welcome. Hey, listen. I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. A product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth, you suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code Rome. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. We are joined by Miles Turner. Miles, it is awesome to have you on the program, man. How you feeling?
Yes, indeed. Good to be back, man. I'm feeling really good. Like you said, this time of the year is a special. A lot of people, but you know, especially us, finally being back here in the playoffs.
Yes, sir. If I'm feeling good about it, I know you're feeling great about it. Let me ask you this. After the grind of 82 games, how good has it been to get some time to rest and recover? And then how hyped are you and your teammates to get to the real season, the postseason?
Yeah, man, it's been a good and a bad thing. You know, I think, you know, you get the time to get off your feet, but we're also anxious just to get the ball rolling. You know, we've been waiting for this opportunity for quite some time, and, you know, just exciting times.
You know, that thing about it being a good thing and a bad thing, you're talking about rest versus rust?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, with the, you know, a team like us, you know, we're just as young as we are, like I said, we're just kind of ready to go out there and just pull the ball out, you know, and the other team, my veteran team, might value that rest.
You know, I'm going to ask you about that team's youth in a minute because you are one of the vets. But let me ask you this. You're one of a handful of guys left from the last playoff appearance, which was 2020. As you get ready for the Bucks, what do you think are the biggest reasons why this team was able to post 12 more wins this year as opposed to last year and get to the postseason?
Well, our attention to detail got so much better as the season went along. I feel like one of the 50 teams, you know, to start the year, and we just really, I think, recommitted ourselves in that category. You know, I'm not sure where we finished, but I know it was definitely a lot better than what it was. And just how dynamic our offense has been, you know, I think we really just kind of revolutionized, like, the way we played Pacers basketball this year, getting up and down the floor as fast as we did, and, you know, having the ball in Tyrese's hands and attacking a role player step up, you know, night in, night out.
We're talking to Miles Turner. Our phone connection, Miles, is not the best. I want to try and play through this. And I'm going to ask you about Tyrese in a minute. I want to say, though, you were a big reason why Indianapolis was able to avoid the playing game because you went off in the finale. You had 11 of the team's first 15 points. You had 31 to blow out Atlanta this past Sunday. As a team leader, did you take it upon yourself to dial it up and ensure that you got that dub, handled your business, and avoided that play-in?
Without a doubt, you know, this time of the year is when you definitely save, you know, your game and, you know, put it out there on the big stage. You know, for me personally, I wouldn't miss the playoffs this year. You know, that's something I said from the jump. We had a team, like, get together in Nashville. We were just playing to pick up basketball, just have the camaraderie. That was the biggest message I could pay to everybody. So, I don't care what we do. You know, we're not miss the playoffs this year, and then we have a chance to actually make some noise. So, we're going to take full advantage of it. And I think the team, you know, definitely responded, you know, really well just to that message. And just me personally, the last, you know, 3-4 games, I knew what was at stake for us. You know, we were already in the playoffs.
Miles Turner joining us. You mentioned Tyrese. He's established himself as one of the better point guards in the league. How much has he improved as a player? And then how much does that help the entire roster and even you individually when the two of you get done and get with the pick and roll?
Yeah, so Tyrese has always been, you know, just a maestro with the ball. He's always known to read, you know, defenses very well. But I think he's seen some mixed bag of defenses this year, and that's only made him better. Like, there's not very much to throw at him to slow him down. And I think that's one of the areas of his game that's really improved this year, is just really just taking on those tougher assignments. You know, he went through, you know, lows in the season where he wasn't shooting the best, but he still was able to leave his imprint on the game. And, you know, that just speaks to the player that he is. And, yeah, I'm excited for him getting his first playoff action. You know, this is his first experience, something he's been talking about doing for a long time. And, you know, adjustments are going to be made game in and game out, and I'm excited to see how he handles them.
Hey, Miles, what about that? Like, you've got some good young talent. You've got some gamers. You've got some guys who are not afraid. But until they've actually done it, they don't really know. What are you telling the young guys about the postseason and the intensity of the playoffs and the mindset that's required to win and advance?
Just get past the first 5 minutes. Just get past the first five. And I remember my rookie year, you know, my first, you know, we played a game seven series, and you know, my very first time checking in, I mean, I got fouled, and so I was at the free throw line, and it seemed like that rim was just moving side to side, and it was so loud in the building. And, you know, once you finally get that first shot off, it's like things finally start to calm down a bit. And, you know, I think that's my biggest piece of advice. Get past the first 5 minutes, that hype, that nervousness and whatnot, and then just lay the ball in the hoop. You know, I think it's a lot more physical time of the year. You know, you have longer timeouts. I mean, just there's different parts of the game that you don't really get to feel during the regular season. So just enjoy the process, enjoy the moment, and just, you know, every possession matters. You know, that's one of the hugest things I've emphasized, is the possession game.
That is an awesome description. Miles Turner joining us. Also, the team took a big swing in January, right, adding Pascal Siakam. What is the addition of the power forward with that championship resume and that strong presence in the paint meant to the team in the second half of the season?
Well, it's been huge. Even someone who's been very vocal since he's been here, you know, if something's not going right, he's going to speak up. And it brings a lot of wisdom to the locker room as well. You know, when he's playing as physical, you know, as he can, he's been going in, flying in, grabbing rebounds, he's communicating, he's using his length on defense. Like, that makes a world of difference. We know he's going to score. You know, we know he's going to require a lot of attention. But it's just when he's able to actually go out there and mix it up. And he's so much more dynamic than what you would think.
All right, so it's not as if you have a choice who you get to play, but I'm curious, given what's already happened between these two teams this season, and there is a bit of history there, was there any part of you that wanted to see Milwaukee again in the postseason?
Bro, I just wanted to get to the playoffs. It's been 4 or 5 years without the action. I didn't care who we played. I just wanted to get in there and give ourselves an opportunity. You know, all the stuff that happened early in the season is great for NBA entertainment and get NBA Twitter talking and stuff, but at the end of the day, we're the ones that go out there and hoop. You know, you roll the ball out, you don't really, none of that stuff matters.
I see you working. You're right. NBA X, NBA media, we all loved it. And I was hoping you would tell me you loved it too, but I get it. I get it. It's a different deal for you than it is for us. What about Giannis? Now, you don't know about his status. Again, I understand that's out of your control. But the uncertainty involving his status because of the calf injury, does that change the way you and your teammates prepare for that matchup in any way?
Somewhat. You know, their team definitely changes. When Giannis doesn't have the ball, you know, you have guys like Dame who's going to take a few more shots, and, you know, some of the role players are able to step up a bit more, whereas when Giannis does have the ball, it requires a lot more attention, you know, especially in transition, and it's making him see bodies. You know, his impact on the game is definitely, you know, something, you know, that for, you know, he's been doing for years now. You know, but at the same time, we prepare like he's going to play, and whenever the ball rolls out, you know, we take it there. You know, I think we've did a good job this week of just preparing for all scenarios and preparing for, especially defensively, just our assignments going down. And, you know, like I said, we've got to wait till Sunday.
So, Miles, one last thought. You talked about when I said to you, what's been the biggest difference this year in the 12 additional wins? You said, among other things, that, like, the offense. We revolutionized the way we play offense and what we do. How much of that is Rick Carlisle? That's a guy that's come on the show so many times over the years. I have such immense respect for him as a basketball mind and a guy who's accomplished what he has. How much of that is about him, and what's he mean to this organization and this team?
Yeah, man, he's one of my favorite coaches I've had, personally. Rick is someone who's very analytical when it comes to the actual game itself. He's just very observant, analyzes everything. And when he communicates it, I think people listen. You know, he's garnered such a respect, not just around the city, but just in his career, where, you know, with that championship resume it has, that people actually listen to what he has to say. So I think Rick really trusted, you know, Tyrese a lot more this year. I think that's a big thing. He kind of let him go out there. We don't call as many plays. He's, you know, go out there and just play five-out basketball. And I really think that's a, you know, ball player's dream. You know, when you come up, when you grow up, you don't really, you know, you can run plays if you want, but you're usually the most dominant person on the floor. And when you have an offense like we have, there's really no rule. Just go out there and just play and loop within the system.
Like you said, he's a maestro with the ball. You got to let him do his thing. Miles Turner joining us 9 years in, 2-time NBA blocks leader and a vet on this team. My man, I know with everything you got going on this week, I really appreciate you made time to come back on. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Good luck. We'll be watching.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. And because it's Friday and because we have two more playing games, it just feels like a Big Head Bet segment is in order. So I'm joined right now by the Big Head himself, James Kelly. Now, Head, rather than me asking you what's good, okay, how you doing, mm-hmm, instead, because I know you, I'm going to get right to it, and I'm going to ask you a very specific gambling-related question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the over-under on the amount of time that elapses before you try to elevate Trent Baalke over Kyle Shanahan as your favorite human being in the world for getting all gassy with it during that presser?
Well, no one could do that, Jim. Kyle, outside of his pops, maybe Senior Lobster, will always be the GOAT, but Trent is moving up because no one, I mean, it's perfect, right? No one blows bigger ass at their job than Trent Baalke does. This guy hired Pervin Meyer and Jim Tom Sula as head coaches, and he's still a decision maker. He blows ass at his gig. It's perfect.
In other words, he blows ass. He's paid to blow ass, and then he blows ass.
Yes. It's like Orlikowski running out of the back of the end zone. He's a good analyst, Orlikowski, but he's a horrible quarterback, you know? It's like perfect.
You know what's incredible about that is I was so fearful of what you would do with that, but that's actually a good bit of analysis. Okay. The guy does blow ass at his job, and then he shows up and he blows ass. And I never thought I'd say this, but as it relates to Flatulence, you actually made it better.
Thank you. Thank you.
You should walk off on that, dude. You literally should walk. Hey, have a great weekend, James.
He hired Tom Sula, who, again, blew ass at a presser, which we know, Alvin. Great sound there if you have it. Imagine the 2015 49ers facilities with those two just running around, just blowing ass all over.
Absolutely incredible. And he hired Herb. He hired Perv.
They brought a Perv in after this stuff, and he still got a job.
And he still is getting paid. Yes. And even after yesterday, he's still getting paid.
Yeah, and he passed
He'll
on
probably extend him after yesterday.
Him. Yeah. Just worst ever.
Coach and I haven't sat down and go, excuse me, gone through the final.
That aside,
his fan base for his offseason this far. Thank you, Trent.
That aside, on a serious note, like you literally think he's horrible at his job.
Oh, I think he's terrible. Who would hire those morons and then the drafts that he's had? Aiden Hutchinson. But no, let's go with Trayvon Walker. I mean, dude, the guy's terrible. His offseason this year, terrible again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just ran the ultimate misdirection. You know what the guy's thinking. Like, nobody's going to ask me about that. But if I just rip some ass, they'll be focused on that and not how bad I am at my job.
Dude, it is good. It is good misdirection. Shanahan stuff.
It's actually pretty smart, right?
It is. Play action with your ass.
Man. I mean, damn, Baalke, comfortable much? I wouldn't have been surprised if this dude just straight up took a dump in his pants. Went, excuse me, my bad.
Not a big dump.
And just rolled right through it.
He did, too.
Coach and I haven't
I mean,
sat down
apologizing
go,
like Wendy and stuff. Holters is still the best apology of all time. Using your ass for social distancing is one of one, but Trent's is pretty good, too.
I can't believe that I actually entertained this conversation with you and that we're having this conversation.
I think this is our best hit
yet. And I was going to say, it's not the worst thing ever. I wouldn't say it's our best hit ever, but it's not our worst hit ever. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, are you done? Okay.
I'm done. I'm
okay,
good. Let's do
good,
it.
Good. Let's do this. We got a couple of playing games starting in the Western Conference. All right. Kings v. Pelicans. Seems to me Sacramento looked great in smashing up Golden State. And, of course, the Pels got the worst news possible when Zion Williamson went down late in their loss to the Lakers. The only thing worse than that were all the clones rushing up in here and grabbing their phones and thumbing out their Zion National Pork, Pion Williamson, Air Pork, the big diabetic and the chunk of dunk references for you and for me. Even though this dude dropped a bunch of weight and was playing lights out,
I know.
Terrible break for the Pels. Obviously, injuries are making it even more difficult to get down than it already was. And even more incredible, head, that line is bouncing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Where is it right now? What is your play?
Real quick, how about a shout-out to Ears and His Ass product here? He's got two do-or-die games tonight, and the dude is missing Zion, Jimmy Buckets, Terry Rozier, Malik Monk, Kevin Herter, Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball, and Zach LaVine. The dude is pretty much Baalkeying in our faces, and he's not even apologizing for this, Jim. The line's all over the place.
Would you accept it? Would you accept it if he did?
Through the final.
Yeah, no. Hell no. Uh-uh. He's number one on my list. No.
Ears is?
Ears. I cannot stand Ears. I'd love to work for him.
At least it's not personal.
I mean, I'd love to work for him. I mean, you just get whatever the hell you want.
Dude, how are you going to get a job working for him when you're just killing him every chance you can?
Well, he just heard me say it, so maybe he'll hire me.
Well, I know he heard you.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
The game. You can now get the Kings, like you said. It's all over the place. You can get a point with the Kings right now. This morning, they were favored by a point as well, this AM, but it's changed back. So I'll go the Kings, take the point, and go with Sacramento here. CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram feasted on them this season, but Ingram isn't right now. He's just coming back from a knee injury and didn't even play down the stretch run of their game against the Lakers after they lost Eric Gumbo there. So the priority is to stop CJ and doing
Eric
a
Gumbo?
Better job.
Dude,
Eric Gumbo.
How can you not respect this guy? He lost a lot of weight. He was the best player on the floor in that game until he tweaked his hammy again. little respect for Eric Gumbo.
Got to have another year, and no more Eric Gumbo in it. Right there, that guy. CJ, and do a better job at the three-point line is the goal tonight for Sacramento. The Pelicans are the second-best team in the NBA in defending the three. Sacramento is the second worst. The Kings allowed teams to shoot damn near 39% from three this season, which is not good considering the Pelicans are the fifth-best team from distance in the association, and not good knowing CJ hit 70% of his shots from there against the Kings this season. Mm. Now, why I like the Kings, yes, they are missing two key players, the original Laker fall guy, Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, but ho-ho-ho-ho, Johnny boy. They still have the two best players on the court tonight in Fox and Sabonis, and they should ball out, especially Sabonis. The Pelicans do not have anyone to check that guy.
Johnny boy.
Right, Ryan in Sacktown. What's the future of your Kings, really, if they can't win tonight against the Pelicans minus Zion to get in the postseason? That's why we're taking them. ATS is a little worried, though.
We, the royal we? Did you just hit me with a royal we? That's why we're taking them?
I did say we. Big Head Betts is taking them.
There's only one of you, dude.
Yeah, I'm taking them.
Okay.
But ATS, little worry. The Pelicans have hit 71% of their games. ATS with 2 to 3 days of rest. But light the beam, baby. Kings plus one.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say I don't know what to make of it because that line's been dancing all over the place. I thought that Sacramento looked great in sleeping the Dubs. Mm-hmm. Zion is out. And yet, when the morning started, this is so weird to me. Sacramento was a 1.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, damn, man, what am I missing? It seems too obvious here, like it's some sort of trick or it's a troll. And generally when something seems too good to be true, I know it is. Mm-hmm. But then I start to look at it and I start to see the things that you're pointing out. The Pelicans straight dominated Sacramento this year. They went 5-0 against them. They won by an average of more than 19 per game.
Yep.
Or maybe it's proven that it's because they can win without Zion. They have won without Zion. But I'm still looking at it like, man, that's a pretty good thing. -1.5, -1.5. I'll hit that. And I did. Dude, I hit that at -1.5. And now you're telling me it's plus one? So
plus
I did
one.
What any reasonable person would do. I hit it again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Listen, hey, whatever. I know the Pelicans can win without Zion. They have. I just don't think they will win without Zion, despite all those analytics and metrics, because the bottom line is, to your point, man, it's Sacramento's time, at least so much as if they can't beat them without Zion, it'll never be that time.
Dude.
Whatever the line is, I'll hit it again.
There we go.
We. Yeah. You're right. Now it works. Now it's works. I've already hit them. I've hit them at -1.5. I've hit them at +1. Last I saw was a pick'em. What is it right now? Has it changed?
Plus one, and I see one site moving to 1.5, but I hit them at +1 right now.
If I see it on my site at 1.5, you know I'll hit it a third time.
Please.
Yeah. I'm going to lose my entire bankroll from the entire season on that game. Anyway, and that's the game I feel good about. Mm-hmm. The other one, not so much. Bulls v. Heat also muddied because of the injuries, and the injuries make it tough to pick. We know Jimmy Buckets is not going to go. Alex Caruso might or probably will go, but if he does go, you know he's not going to be 100%. So what is the number in that game, and what are you doing there?
Yeah, man, Buckets, their best player and their best offensive threat is a no-go, which is below not good for a team who struggles to get buckets. They rank 26th in points per game in the regular season, and only Orlando has a worse offensive rating of the teams who will be in the playoffs.
Keep Orlando out your mouth, dude.
I know, I do like Orlando.
I love Orlando.
Around. Also, no Terry tonight for
Terry?
The Miami Heat. Terry,
my man,
no Terry.
Terry.
Yes. Not the blind cat running gassers at Bill Stadium, but Terry Rozier there, Alvin. Thank you, Alan, for that.
Yeah, but Terry, but you got Tyler.
Thank you, Alan. Do.
You got Bam.
We got the hero
you
is
got
more
Dunk.
Than a sandwich here, and he's really going to have to ball out if Miami wants to win. But he might be able to. Jaime Jaquez, another great guy who could get some buckets, and they could because
close. Jaquez, that was very close.
UCLA product. Come on,
love him.
There it is. That's why that guy right there.
A
he could
hero
go off,
is more than a Jaquez. Nice try, head.
Anyways, they could play well. I used that one correctly right there. See that?
There you go.
Because
give him a little ding. They could play well.
because Ed Munster's bullies a ball in Chicago here. They play butthole-like defense. Not like Atlanta bad butthole, but pretty damn bad. And their best defender, like you said, Caruso.
Down and
he
go.
Should play.
Caruso.
Caruso.
What okay, yeah, fair enough. That's cool. Yeah. He is the Caruso.
The Lakers could really use him, by the way. Brilliant move, the GM. But I'm going with Munster's team and taking the points. DeMar DeRozan, his last five games of the regular season, he averaged over 30 while hitting over 50% of his shots. He has helped, too, with Nikola. Colby White went out and scored 42 against the Hawks. They are also the better rebounding team. And ATS, the Bulls, are the best as an away favorite and hitting 64% of their game. So I'm riding with the Munster kid. The one who decided to bail on Oklahoma City because he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild. Idiot. We'll take the 1.5 points for Chicago here.
Yeah, that's awesome. You don't want to be a part of that rebuild. You mean that rebuild where they're the number one seed and they're the youngest number one seed ever? That rebuild?
How pissed is Herman?
Yeah.
How pissed is Herman?
Herman's so disappointed in his boy.
Oh, my God. So is Gramps.
They all are. They're embarrassed.
Stupid.
Alan Parsons can't believe how dumb that is, right?
Oh, dude, Alan Parsons type mistake right there.
All right, so generally I don't jack with Miami this time of year because of, well, you know, the famed Heat culture and, of course, Eric Spoelstra, who I know you love.
Best
and most
coach
of all,
in the league.
Jay Buckets. But they don't have buckets. As I mentioned, they don't have buckets, but they do have some firepower. It's going to put additional pressure on Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson. You know they will play better than the sum of their parts, especially this time of year. However, the Munster kid and the Bulls have gotten over on Miami so many times. Not just gotten over, but they're 6-2 ATS in their previous eight matchups with them. And they did look great against the Hawks. Even though the Hawks are ass. I'm not gonna lie though, I've gone back and forth on this all morning long because that's how much I respect the Heat culture and their grit and Spoelstra.
Excuse me, gone through the final board yet.
I'll be real. I do not feel good about this pick at all. However, like you, I will ride with the Munster kid, take the points. 2 points, right?
1.5.
Damn, it was 2 when I saw it.
2. We can wait, maybe. 1.5, though.
Man, whatever. Whatever. I'm too far in. Huge shout-outs to that block party on Mockingbird Lane. I'm going to take the Munster kid.
We again. Love that.
We again. All right, dude, listen. I know this is a time of year where you have other thoughts. Is there anything else we can hit?
Yeah, it's NBA and NHL future time here. For the Larry O, the Boston Celtics are favored to win it all, and they have a much easier path to the finals, as we know, with the Milwaukee Dame debacle there. They are the plus 145 favorite to win it all as they watch the West beat the hell out of each other. But I'm riding with Jonte Porter and throwing down on the defending champions here, the Nuggets at plus 300.
Hell yes.
Yes, love
I like
that.
I like that.
I am a little worried about the Lakers and the cap. I will admit that. But I think they will get through that and
Are
get
you?
Back there. Yeah, a little bit this year, more than I was last year. It's the bench of the Nuggets. Cowboy Bruce Brown was so good on the off the bench last year.
No
so
doubt.
Was Jeff Green. Their biggest question for the Nuggets here is Christian Brown, Reggie Jackson, and Peyton Watson. If they step up and help the best starting lineup in basketball and Michael Porter Jr., Jonte, more points, never mind. I won't go there.
You just went there.
I did go there. If he plays up to his potential, there's another level for Denver to get to, and that's good enough to go back-to-back. So I love the Denver Nuggets at plus 300. Also,
let me stop right there really quickly. How about Jonte and an $80,000 parlay involving Jonte that would have paid over $1 million because nobody was going to see that? No red flag there.
No red flag
red
there.
Flag!
The stupidity is off the charts. People, these are so easy to read.
Never mind that they have super sophisticated devices to detect this sort of thing. How stupid would you have to be to think you could get away with something like that?
I mean, you make over $1 million, or you will make more than $1 million, $2 million in your future to do it after that. And understand, regulators could see differences like no other. There's only probably in props a couple $1,000s a night on something like that, and they see a big line of 150, 200, or whatever it is go through.
It was
of 80, course they're
80,
gonna see it.
80 grand for a guy who's like a total scrub.
The stupidity is off the charts, man. It's
but he did make like 21 grand actually betting, so that was worth it.
He's better than some of the other guys. I will say that.
All right, so what else you got?
Better than Shohei's guy. I will give him that part.
Who's better, Jonte or Ipe at betting?
Jonte, definitely. Ipe, he's rough. He's bad. And he watched Angels baseball all the time. So had he just faded him every 4 days, he would be richer than hell, and he wouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff. But that's beside the fact.
Yeah, but he had integrity, though. He didn't bet baseball.
He should have followed Jonte there because they both got caught.
He had integrity. He had enough integrity to steal and rob his best friend blind, but so much more integrity not to bet baseball.
That's it right there.
My man's got a line. There are boundaries. There are boundaries. I can't believe you and I are just going on. This is the longest. This is like a throwback to our podcast days.
I miss that. Yeah.
Well, I know you do, dude, because it was all about you. Well, not all about you, but a lot about you. What else do you got before you go? Because I know there's actually even more.
So I got Denver plus 300. I also love the Clippers and Mavs shots to be the dark horse to win it all if the Clippers could stay healthy. So I might save a little bit of money and see who wins that series, because that series is so tough to call right now, especially with Kawhi and the yearly knee stuff there. But I love both those teams as dark horses to maybe win the whole thing. Also, Lord Stanley's Cup here. Two choices. I'm going with Carolina Hurricanes, which pisses me off. It seemed like the last few months they were the third to fourth betting favorite. They are now the betting favorite. But why I'm going to be a chalky little bitch here is because they have great coach and a great defense. Being six strong, their goaltending has stabilized, and the offense and the firepower questions aren't as concerning because they went in all in at the trade deadline, and they acquire Jake Guentzel. And the trade, after the trade, he's averaged 5 points per 60, which is elite. Let's go with the Carolina Hurricanes to win the cup at plus 650. The other pick, I wanted to take my Avs, but they've been too shaky on the back end late. This is business. I'm taking the Dallas Stars, which the odds makers on DraftKings pretty much balked these guys this AM. The team was with the most points in the Western Conference is now the sixth choice.
Going through
that guy right there, right in their face.
Dude, my
the
head is spinning,
choice.
Man. Wrap this thing.
Sorry, sixth choice on DraftKings at plus 850. I'm going with the Stars as well. So the Hurricanes and Stars for my Stanley Cup play.
Man, head, I love when Utah hockey.
Dude, I do too.
There was so much gas in that I'm not even going to ask you to reset it. I'm just going to say, hopefully they got it all down. If you want to put it out there on the X, I'll retweet it. And, dude, that was a monster segment.
Fun segment. Thanks, Jim.
You know, for you. For you. Have a great weekend, dude.
You too. See ya.
Appreciate it. Look at the head. Alvy, roll it. Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your week's off to a great start. Let's get it. Busy show for you today. Lots to get done. So let me start with the Masters. He's too dull. He's too boring. He's sleepy Scotty. Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
All I can think about right now is getting home. I'm not thinking about the tournament.
He is a flat line because nothing affects this dude. Because the fact of the matter is, boring Scotty is not going anywhere. Bob Herrick.
It's just more validation of how great he is. It's almost inevitable that he was going to be
inevitable.
He watches everybody else sort of fall apart on him.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Email. You're just going to gloss over the Xfinity Sports Network in the open? Infinity. No, bro. I would never do that. Max was doing him a favor. Like, dude, come here. He caught Justin with one of the best right hands of all time and created possibly the greatest moment in MMA history. He is Max Holloway.
I mean, that's not a very BMF way to say it. You know, a BMF wouldn't be like, I'm not going to fight this guy unless this is... That's kind of un-BMF. A BMF fights whatever. Fights whoever, whenever, any weight, any time. That's not a tone of a BMF, brother.
Brother. What's going on, Tony? How are you?
Rome, thanks for the vine. Now that I got that out of the way, first thing...
Global
Army. I know I'm running here, Rome.
Live from CBS 4. This
Unlike
is your
John at John the bar, he is not a friend of yours. When Billy got back to his dressing room, I just hope that my man did not have a heart attack.
The electricity starts flowing the second Alvin hits the Alan Parsons Project song.
What?
And oh my
Alvin
God.
Set me up. It was a G-chat message. What's that Chicago Bulls song? I'm not supposed to read his mind. I have things to do.
Nothing like blasting New Order on PCH back in the day on the Hog. Good times, man.
War Dan Hurley for making me believe like he went back to back. A little guy out in Phoenix could hopefully one day go rack to rack.
Ken Galbraith.
But on the Lakers side, they've got all the momentum. Late season, LeBron really cranked it up on Sunday, moving the ball all over the place masterfully.
Ben Galbraith joining us. All right, Ben. Alvy, what was that? Derek Shelton.
Kids playing year-round instead of playing other sports, so now there's stress on that. You know, I mean, when you and I grew up, and I'm not saying we're old, but like you played.
Oh, I am. I am, Skip.
I am, too. You played seasonal.
Max. Jake. Nick. Jack. Tristan.
We went all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
The ham was loving him some ham last night.
Insane asylum sources say.
My man, you were feeling awfully good about winning a playing game. Mac Brown.
Man, you've done it for a long time and I love listening to you. Let's just make a pact. We're both going to keep fighting them and all those haters out there are going to say you and I are quitting too. So we'll just let them do it and then they'll get fired and we'll just get the next one.
Huge smoke machines. A laser show. The stage rising up. Fireworks. Damon's going to come out there like a rock star. Grab that mic and tell the world.
I am banning
Mr. Porter
for life.
Damn, Jonte. Life. Hope that was worth life. It. The music starts.
Hood man.
Please bring your torch.
Tribe has spoken. You're voted off the island. I put the clamps on the greatest show on turf. I'm not collecting bleep. Go get your own damn branches. Get the hell off our island. Terrion Arnold. Who are a few of the top corners in the NFL?
Patrick Surtain, Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, Sauce Gardner, A.J. Terrell, Trayvon Diggs.
How long before you're in that same category?
Couple more months, man. Couple more months.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
Meantime, quote, fat boy went off 26-15 that night. Anyway, Boogie, I got your back, man.
Fat boy!
Don't let the clones win. I'll hit up the homies. They might jump you in. Bruh, I'll keep beating this drum until I get run.
Right on cue, yo. What's your beef?
When you get on an elevator and it smells, and then the next floor down, a dime piece gets on and gives you the nastiest look like you're the responsible party.
Hey, Al Roker, this was settled thousands of years ago.
My beef is with my dad when he comes into my bedroom, catches me wrestling with myself. But it's...
Well, my beef with the self-checkout register guy, scanning myself while this person's watching me.
It's self-checkout.
It's self-checout, man.
Logan Webb, pitcher for the Giants. Mike gave me this pick. I had no idea.
What? Why are you putting that on Mike?
I'm not putting it on him. I'm giving him credit.
We haven't even introduced Mike yet. What do you mean, Mike? Mike who?
Alvin, give us your prize pick. Doggy style, reach around.
Nick Casario.
Romy, always good to be with you. The clones, the XR4TI. Just trying to get a little jungle caramel here before the draft.
Jungle caramel?
Coach and I haven't sat down and go, excuse me, gone
what?
Through the final.
Excuse me.
Four. Excuse me.
Without even breaking stride and moving right through it.
No, that didn't happen.
You're the man, brother. You're the man. You have no idea. You have a great one.
Hey, you guys got any plans for your boathouse?
Lay off the palm oil.
You know, anytime you call, I'm on.
Stomp the spleen.
Jaime Jaquez.
I'm going to get out of here before I get too awkward.
Awkward.
Having a respect-a-thon, Romy.
Or, I'm out.
Fuck!
Good night now!
Incredible. Incredible job, Alvin. Thank you very much. Let's go to the phones. Fabian in L.A. Fabes, you made it in. What's going on?
You're the best in the business, brother. Hey, happy. Hey, it's like Christmas, you know. But, hey, happy 419 and happy 420. Hey, I'm calling for the karma, bro. I need karma. I need positivity from the clones. I need your help. Boom, boom, boom. If I had time, I would kick out my ex. You know, I can't, but I don't have time for that. Go to Nooch. Love you guys. Out.
Go to Nooch. Love you guys. Fabian, you're the man.
Good night now!